This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Here we go, hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We have the Cowboys news of the evening coming up in about 20 minutes. Jerry Jones was hilarious, also addressed some serious matters this morning with Sean and RJ. We'll give you highlights of that and how he won the award that nobody in Texas wants. So that's 20 minutes away right now. Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day.
All right, did Micah get you fired up with this comment, or are you calling bull bleep all over it? I'll believe it when I see it. We did get some bad news, though. Jameis Winston's going back to the bench.
Ooh!
Yeah, maybe the personality of the NFL season. We've all really gotten to know and love Jameis Winston as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. It was a hell of a story. And, I mean, he started really doing it in New Orleans. The personality is just outstanding. I can't wait for our Jameis Winston reality show one day. But they are going to go with Dorian Thompson-Robinson at quarterback against Cincinnati or the Cleveland Browns. So, Jameis, after what happened against Kansas City, he's going back to the bench. And we got a flex, boys. Yep, we've been flexed here. The NFL is moving Dolphins-Browns. Why would they do that? What a riveting game. They're going out of Sunday Night Football in Week 17. They're replacing it with the Falcons and the Commandos.
Oh, come on.
Yep, Falcons-Commanders. That didn't accept you? Nope.
No, the Falcons, absolutely not.
No.
Not the Falcons.
Yeah.
My God,
I mean,
no.
Dude. Both those games last night were rather disgusting.
Pretty awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
What are we doing here?
Kirk Cousins.
Monday Night Football doubleheader and neither game's watchable?
If you just could have played the Saints and the Falcons all at the end. You had to play him at the
hey, that's
beginning
the way it works.
End, you know?
That's, you know, the schedule gods aren't looking out for you in those ways.
This is like a 5-game stretch or something where it's 1 touchdown, 9 interceptions for Kirk Cousins. I saw a stat to where, I mean, his immobility is, I mean, maybe the most unimpressive thing. The Falcons have 3 completions on throws outside of the tackle box this season.
Jesus, that's really bad.
He is the ultimate statue quarterback.
9 interceptions in his past 5 games with a single touchdown pass.
Yeah.
He's been playing bad football. I mean, he was 11 of 17 for 112 yards, the 1 touchdown that he finally had in 1 pick. It's been brutal. But they're going to stick with him now. Raheem Morris did say, like, Kirk Cousins, you got to play better.
Oh.
But geez, 7-7. They're
Jesus.
they're in some trouble right now.
His value for his position to his team.
Oh,
-$26 million.
Yeah,
not good.
That was never the right thing to do.
That's what we say is not good.
Yeah,
at all. And you could have put, I believe, Vikings Packers. I don't know. Like you got Eagles Cowboys. It's a 3:25 game on Fox. I'm assuming Vikings Packers is also on Fox. That's slated for noon. I don't know why you wouldn't have flexed that.
Well, Fox doesn't want to give that game up. They're like, we're willing to give you Falcons and Commanders.
Well, they can only save one. So if they're saving Cowboys Eagles, I feel like Packers Vikings would have been available.
Probably shouldn't save that one. That needs to be a noon game.
Yeah, it's
that's done. That's the one game I really worry about that you're just really going to get embarrassed in.
In Philly, 3:25.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Fox wants the world to see that one because that's going to be their America's game of the week.
Totally,
it's going to be a brutal game. Okay, here's Micah. Speaking of America's team, it's the Edge with Micah Podcast. Now,
Micah Jerry, Podcast.
Yeah, the Micah podcast. Jerry pretty much said, no. There's no trading happening here. I think we were aware of that, but this was Micah addressing the NFL.com article from Stephen Jones.
Like I said, y'all know I'm going to be a Cowboys for life. We're going to figure out a way for me to be a Cowboy for life. And I think, you know, Jay and Steven see it that way too. So I'm going to be real excited, at the end of this year. I hope the fans are going to be excited because I think it's going to be a great offseason. I do think we're going to attack free agency. I think it's going to be a great year, because I think we got the pieces, man. I get guys is going to – like, to me, I look at it like the reason why we want to finish this year so good, and we're already missing starters, and some of those starters we're not going to get back to the end of next year. So if we could finish good and keep playing great defense now, imagine towards next year when we're not, you know, what is it, 6-8, and we're whatever, 9-5, or, 10-6, whatever the record is, right? Imagine we're that record and we're saying, hey, we're still about to get Trayvon back. Hey, we're still about to get Demo back. And all those guys got all those good reps and that experience. And now you combine with those really good guys that's coming back who played so well with guys who's been working and grinding and are, have the same values and commitment to this team. And you say, yo, we're going to be really good come playoffs. We're really going to start clicking. So it's going to be a super exciting year. You know, that's why I say Cowboys Nation, it looked bad right now. And we turning it up, but it's about to go to a whole nother level. So I hope y'all really, pay attention and y'all wake up because it's about to get real exciting. So Cowboy Nation, y'all better wake up real fast.
So he said that this week?
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Wow.
That was yesterday.
Sounds like maybe a Micah. Week 3 podcast.
That's weed.
But him talking about he believes they're going to attack free agency in 2025.
Hey. You know, that's hogwash. Don't go full shill, Micah. You know, don't go. Let Jerry Jones do that. Yeah. There's positivity. There's optimism. And I think Jerry said last week he loves hearing that kind of belief from Micah Parsons. Don't get gassed up by that, dude.
No, he said it this morning. He really, and it's funny because
the way Sean asked the question was brilliant.
Yeah. Sean waited till he asked the question and it's like. And Jerry gave it I'm really happy when I hear Micah
speak.
You
should listen to what he has to say.
You should listen to what he has to speak. And then Sean goes, yeah, but he also said you're going to be really active in free agency.
Brilliant.
And you could kind of hear Jerry kind of like, he kind of rambled around a little bit there. But
yeah, I'm not
going to lie. Mike is just finding the right way to be that positive leader. And you have to stay within range of credible.
He's doing a good job of finding the positivity.
Yeah. I want them to win the next 3 games. I think there's an outside chance they win 2 out of 3. That'll leave them just short.
Well, the Lions are also dealing with a ton of injuries. We've talked about that. And yesterday we were referencing the report of Aiden Hutchinson, their outstanding defensive end, maybe coming back for the Super Bowl. He was discussing today on a podcast. Here was Peter Schrager with Good Morning Football. What's the likelihood you're coming back for the Super Bowl?
I'm on track for my goal of returning for the Super Bowl. And so I keep telling all the boys when I see them in the facility, I'm like, you guys just got to get there. And I promise you, I'm going to be back, And I tell people that. My mom was like, I remember we were talking yesterday. And she's like, but Aiden, like what if you don't get back? Like what if you can't? And I was like, there's no other way.
Yeah. Man, that sounds like Gronk.
There's no other way.
It sounds like Gronk's older brother who's got his shirt tucked in and has glasses on.
I can see the storylines now, though.
How many? What would this be? Would it be 6 months? No, it would be 5 months.
He got hurt the Dallas game.
He did.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. It was a disgusting injury. Yeah. But I'd love this.
This is Aaron Rodgers kind of
New Orleans
land.
Super Bowl week, Lions and whoever the hell they're playing. Aiden Hutchinson. Here he comes. First game back. Takes the field. Like, here it is.
T.O. did that, right?
Two sacks. Forced fumble. Maybe recovery for a touchdown.
T.O. did that on a high ankle sprain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is a different.
I'm just saying, if you're talking about
beast, guys, similar story.
Yeah, guys you feel like aren't going to come back, and the next thing you know,
it's an amazing storyline for the Super Bowl if it were to happen. I don't know, though, if the Lions. I'm hoping. I'm kind of pulling for the Lions a little bit out of the NFC with everything they've been through as a franchise.
Toxic with the Cowboys last year, Wolchuk. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
I know. I just don't have a hate for them. It's because of Dan Campbell. I still love him.
Yeah.
And why is that? Well, this was Dan Campbell today, 97.1. Doing his weekly radio show, in Detroit, and this was his message to the team and the fans.
You know what happens is, you know, you win 11 in a row, you know, and you lose, and then the sky falls. And I hate to say it, but we're not going to be able to win 11 in a row again for the rest of this season. We're just not going to be able to do it. And, you know, what happens is you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, and but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your f-ing molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed. And sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed. This is exactly what we needed. So we're going to bounce back. We're going to respond. We got guys that are about to have an unbelievable opportunity here. And we will play the game any way needed to win. We still got a good offense. We got plenty of defensive players. I can go rattle them off right now. We're going to put the best 11 on the field. We're going to freaking cut it loose. We're going to play with our special teams. And I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one, you're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right? If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a f-ing smile from my ear to ear. All right? I can promise you. So we're going to find a way and we're going to get it done.
Man, both hosts, Costa and Jansen, they're just looking at each other like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the guy believed he was going to get the onside kick with a 7% chance.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Jerry and Micah optimism, dude. Hello.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big fan of Dan Campbell. I think he needs like an off-season like coach on how to maybe work probabilities in or maybe to keep his emotions down. It's great on the radio. When you're fourth quarter, you just cut the lead to 10 and there's 12 minutes to go. And you're thinking, now is my now or never moment. That's too much cojone impulse, okay? And, you know, at one point, he had a team that was so good that they could, you know, win in spite of his over-aggressiveness. Now you don't. Now you have to be wiser. And I love Dan Campbell, too. But I think he's got a major flaw in his game.
I hear what you're saying with that. I wonder if that's somewhat of his superpower, though. The way that he speaks to the team that way, the way the team then buys in and really believes it themselves.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah.
There's some of that. Like, the coach believes in us so damn much, he will risk it all because of his belief in us. We're good enough to go and do that. Because you're right. In hindsight, I'm with you. Maybe the emotions, that does get too big
say
for him.
Say all of it.
To make some of those poor
decisions. In your mind, say, I'm dialing back 10%. You know, go for it all fourth and threes and shorter.
He's made some really, yeah. Like, what oh, are you
he'll
doing
keep
here?
Doing that.
But they're also humming along like the best team in the league for the majority of the season.
Yeah. He can handle direct feedback, go into his front office and be like, dude, what the crap? That was stupid.
Yeah. He has made some moves that were really, really stupid. I don't know. I kind of don't think the Lions are going to be able to make it. And it's really starting to worry me with the Eagles right now, boys. We had Brandon Graham, and we'll get to sequels a little bit later on in the show. But Brandon Graham this time last week stirred up all the mess and filthy. And I was thinking to myself, okay, here we go. It's happening. Dysfunction, the distractions, it's all too much. It's time for them to implode. Fingers crossed this still happens. Here was Brandon Graham after a week of drama. And keep in mind, he's not playing anymore. He's out for the season. He's got himself a torn pec, said maybe he'll come back next year if he thinks they can make a Super Bowl run. But he's clarifying everything with the A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts stuff.
That was some hullabaloo last week. How did you come out? From that, on the other end of that, that's a lot of, I don't know, anxiety. That's a lot of stress. That's a lot of people kind of, hey, Brandon, and you just got surgery. You know, how hard was that?
You know what? Me as a player, not being able to go out and play, it was hard for the week. But I didn't listen to nothing. I mean, I was like, this is just get to the game. Block out the noise. Don't even turn the TV on because I know they going crazy. But it's like, all right, just let's go out here. Let's take care of business. And that's what we did. And I was, man, if anything, I was more hyped about that because that's all that was for, I felt, because it was on my heart to do. You know, and man, I'm telling you, like, we got something special, man. And we all want special stuff. And so I'm just happy that it happened the way it did.
Was that like the win that can propel the Eagles now with what's happening with Detroit?
Yeah, with what Yes, what's happening to Detroit right now is opening the door.
Oof. I'm still going Green Bay. I hope Green Bay's the team to slay them.
I think the thing that could kill Philly going down the stretch is their head coach. The way that he manages things, he can't help himself. And I wonder if he's going to slip along the way. That, you know, they're trying to get that one seed, and he does something that costs them an opportunity to do that. That would be the only thing that I would, if I was a Philly Eagle fan, I would worry about my head coach. I wouldn't worry about the team.
You wouldn't worry about Jalen Hurts and the passing attack?
No.
You think they can get that handled?
I mean, they just had a nice
performance versus the Steelers, yeah, so it's fair. But
they haven't really thrown the ball totally well all year, have they?
No, they haven't.
And so that's what I'm saying.
Middle of the pack.
It's now I think Kellen Moore's got a rhythm how to call games.
Yeah,
I think
he does.
Like, and their defense has clearly gotten better. So because of the changes they've made, I would worry about, if I was a Philly fan, I would worry about my head coach. That would be the guy that,
yeah,
much like Detroit. Detroit, they could talk about injuries.
Passionate coach.
Yeah, Detroit could talk about injuries, but if Detroit Lion fan, you have to worry about Dan Campbell doing something in a game, a decision that could cost your team an opportunity to win. That would be my concern.
Well,
not all the guys they lost. It's my head coach.
Yeah,
might do something that costs us a chance.
Yeah, but I think it's a lot of these coaches. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe they're too conservative with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think any of these coaches are overly trustworthy in every situation.
That whether guy in Minnesota too conservative, might be
too aggressive.
That guy in Minnesota might be
Kevin O'Connell. We probably don't give enough praise to.
Yeah, I mean he with him and Sam Darnold and that's a good division, though, man. That is a really good division, that NFC North.
Yeah, but if I'm the Eagles fan right now, I feel like we have four concerns that could derail us at any moment, right? You saw the A.J. Brown injury. Obviously, you know, an injury to him, to Saquon Barkley. You know, Saquon's out. I think it'd be over. He got banged up. Jalen Hurts, you know, it probably against a great defense is not going to be able to make the big chunk plays that we would need. Our lack of pass rush now, you know, very inconsistent all year long for the Philadelphia Eagles pass rush as well. And then the coach, you know, so there's a number of things. We'll just have to keep our fingers crossed. And if none of those things happen, then we always have Mahomes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Go bleep yourself filthy.
Andy Reid, that's your difference maker as a coach right there.
The C-note and Jerry Jones takes home an award nobody wants is next year in the nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. You can donate today at carsforkids.org. We have the C-note here, Cowboys News of the Evening, top headline. Texas Monthly recognizes Jerry Jones as the 2024 Bum Steer of the Year. I wasn't quite sure what that was, but it is a award that has been handed out since 1975. Bestows what it describes as its highest dishonor on well-known politicians, business people, and institutions in the state. So basically, it's the biggest loser of the year among powerful people who usually are stacking dubs 24/7, 365. But I thought it was really interesting. Their first supporting evidence was that this team's the spat that they had with Sean and RJ, the spat with radio hosts on 105 through the Fan. That was, of course, maybe the biggest high profile interaction we've ever had with Jerry Jones on the station. And then you include the January playoff collapse against Green Bay, his November comments on the sun glare at AT&T were also a key part of the nomination, being compared with a line from the film adaptation of Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire. And according to Texas Monthly, this isn't the first year Jones has been named Bum Steer of the Year. He also got this back in 10 as the Cowboys struggled to slog through a 6-10 campaign after the excitement of the 2007 and 2009 seasons and playoffs. We thought we were getting ready for liftoff there, and the wheels came off that year. You think Jerry deserves this?
So Ken Paxton finished second.
Yeah, I don't know who the other candidates were, but
I was looking up past winners.
I'm for it.
I was trying to figure out who the past winners were of this award. It's probably a pretty distinguished list. Guys and gals, maybe.
That's ridiculous.
Let me see if I can get that for you quickly.
You know, I do think you would go back to March or April whenever he made those all-in statements. Yeah. You know, there seems to be a detachment from reality on some of these, but it's just him, you know, selling in maybe an extreme way under worse circumstances. Austin won it last year due to issues with skyrocketing living costs, traffic congestion, and a perceived decline in cultural uniqueness. Greg Abbott got it. 2015, Wendy Davis got it. She was the gubernatorial lost the gubernatorial election to Greg Abbott.
Yeah,
and had a train wreck of a campaign. 2014, the title was shared among several recipients, including Cherry Jones, Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, Ted Cruz, and the Houston Astros.
They go after politicians and every once in a while kind of sprinkle in a sports guy.
Or a team there. To 2014 to the Astros, were they stealing back then, or was that just for organizational ineptitude? Maybe that was one of their tank years.
Yeah, it was a tank year. I think that was right before they started getting good.
Let's jump to Jerry Jones with Sean.
So that's like a goofy award, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't hear you set it up. I was moving around, but on the list. Yeah. I was like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to be on this list.
Yeah, no. Okay. No, you do not. Definitely don't want to be there. Okay, but I think if you're high profile enough, it's coming for you one way or another.
And there's some hardware involved here. Do you get something sent delivered to the front door? Some type of loser's trophy?
Chrome-plated plunger?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Toilet bowl trophy?
There is no physical trophy associated with it.
See, they need
purely satirical and symbolic. But yeah, I think some sort of broken down steer, you know, good for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be of any service to the farm, something like that. I'd never heard the term bum steer, but.
The bum steer award.
Yeah. Okay. We go to Jerry with Sean and RJ. Things going much more smoothly, this time of year. And this was a very interesting question. Are McCarthy and Zimmer tied together because they're both in the expiring year of their contracts? We're going to get Jerry.
Well, in a way, I do. And especially after the last ball games. And but I think you're seeing the best of Mike Zimmer. And maybe I shouldn't say that. You're beginning to see some of the best, but maybe the best is still ahead of us. He's been real impressive now, putting that defense together with the attrition that we've had with availability with our players. So I give him that. Mike, I don't know how you cannot say that his team has shown that they'll handle adversity and he can get you there with the injury situation impacting the availability of those players. I hate to keep repeating that, but it's so obvious, and yet have that team playing at the level it's playing. So, I give them both high grades this year.
Sounds like he's setting it up to rationalize keeping McCarthy, with the injuries and with how they have continued to play hard and to become more competitive here over the last month or so. In a way, I do. I think that leaves himself an out. I do think, Bill Belichick doesn't take that UNC job if he thinks there's a good chance Mike McCarthy's getting fired and he takes that job. So I think at best this situation is we're undecided, but it's possible they've already decided Mike McCarthy is coming back. I'm surprised you wouldn't be more inclined to return Mike Zimmer for the for how much they like continuity around this team for the improvement that you've seen around Mike Zimmer. Maybe if you're targeting a head coach with a strong defensive background, that would eliminate that. So they can't speak firmly, on that subject right now. But I definitely think it's, amongst the possibilities that both mics are back. Will Trayvon Diggs be at camp? Let's cut to 14 here.
Well, again, I could not in any way. That rehab and the time connected with the rehab can be really dramatically different for each player and with the same injury. And so you obviously can see, and I can, that he's out for the season. But when he returned next year, would be the same circumstances in trying to predict when Overshown would be back. These injuries in late season, when you've got this season that for all practical purposes begins really in camp, the following year. A lot of these injuries are, by definition, year-long rehabbed recovery length. And so you can do the math. That pushes it into the year.
So, yeah, easily could go well beyond the 8 months that's been talked about when you're dealing with, you know, cartilage like that. It's just so unpredictable. It's a lot less predictable than ligament repair surgeries on when he's going to come back. Which player do you have more concern with right now over their full recovery? Is it Overshown or Diggs?
I guess I lean Diggs.
Diggs.
And it's really about, and I know Jerry spoke on, like, how did Diggs attack his rehab. Overshown's a guy you have no doubt. You know Overshown's going to go above and beyond what's asked and required of him to try and get back. So there's no questions there, and that's part of it. You know, that is part of the deal when it comes to getting back on the field is the rehab of it. And you got some of the best there with Britt Brown and Mr. Maurer. And, hey, you know, for Trayvon, I guess there's a question.
Yeah,
maybe that's not fair. I don't know, but I know Overshown, there's no doubt.
Well, hungry dogs hunt best. That's a guy who's still looking to get paid in the league. Diggs has been.
Yeah, and that physical therapy is very trying, grinding day after day, and you know, a lot of guys just don't have what it takes to do it ideally.
Yeah, and it's tough on the medical staff too.
And
especially now you've got, you know, 2-3 guys that they're having to, it's, you know, a lot of pressure on them to have to, you know, no vacation for them, no vacation for the player rehabbing, but no vacation for the medical staff either, having to be out there every day. It's their job, but man, it's the one with Diggs. I mean, I agree with what Wolchuk said. You got one guy I think that's really, really going to attack it, and the other one is going to probably have his hand held a little bit.
Okay, but the golden moment of the show was a discussion, a follow up on Xavier Leggett talking about eating raccoons.
Yeah,
super country guy, most country guy in the NFL. Here's Jerry Jones. Have you ever eaten some raccoon?
I've eaten a lot of raccoon. Yes. The answer is yes. And I've eaten it. I've eaten it hunting. I've actually had it served by my mom at the table away from hunting. Mm. And I have eaten raccoon. And yes, they're it's not uncommon at all. I'll tell you something that is one of my favorites. The squirrel, and it's wonderful, and my mother could do a great job of it, and we all had our favorite pieces, and my dad and sister, I have one sibling, a sister, and they would fight, but my mom and I, they were just my sister and I as far as siblings, my mom and I wouldn't even ask for the brain in a squirrel.
Oh, man.
And delicious, seriously.
Delicious.
Yeah, that's something I don't think I could do. That would probably take care of all of our bet payoffs in one, Brian, for eating a squirrel brain.
Yeah.
But, you know, I imagine their legs look like they could be pretty delicious. You know, they look to be pretty meaty. That's a lot of muscle fiber in there.
Yeah, Googling it up, they say the meat can have like a subtle nut taste to it based on how much squirrels eat nuts. But when it comes to the brains, they can technically be considered food, but eating them is strongly discouraged due to risk of contracting a fatal disease called, way too big a word, but it just turns out it's a CJD is the acronym they use.
I wonder, because
we don't have the capacity.
Yeah, the like mad cow's disease too was another thing. Like they didn't want you to eat brain because of that. That's look that up. That was something that's pretty fatal.
They served that squirrel up with it's like smothered with gravy and
sauce
onions.
Pecan.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, I think you have to be, you know, an outdoorsman or, you know, from Arkansas.
Starving.
Yeah.
There's no grocery stores nearby.
But I'll tell you what, I've eaten gator. That gator was good. Okay,
it's really good.
I've never eaten snake. It, right? I don't know if I would be able to eat a snake, but I've eaten duck, and I thought that was horrible. That's it was so greasy and oily. Greasy.
Yeah,
it gave me the worst indigestion maybe of my life.
Damn.
I had duck one time and then bit into it in a piece of shot, you know, shotgun.
Oh yeah,
you got to spit that joint out.
I mean, I bit on it and it just cut me up, and I'm like, God, what just happened? I spit, and it was a piece of that metal shot that they didn't clean out of the bird.
Yeah.
So,
dude, the roasted duck at the Vegas buffet was
duck's fantastic.
I mean,
duck is very good.
It was great. See, maybe I think, you know, this guy had just cooked it himself. Maybe if I tried duck at a restaurant, it'd be a little bit of a better experience.
Never had quail. I've heard good things about quail.
Oh, I definitely want to try quail.
What did you not have at the Vegas buffet? What did you not have? Every time I looked up, you had another plate of food. But the duck was good, huh?
Yeah, the duck was fantastic. Yeah. And it was because it was really my first experience with duck.
Yeah.
So it left a lasting impression. I went back for seconds.
Yeah.
I'll have to try it out next time. We should have the Super Bowl almost every year in Vegas. I feel like Vegas, New Orleans, New York, probably Miami, San Diego.
You'll like New Orleans.
Okay, we got to run. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Coming up next, Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I do. I have some questions for my guys for this Cowboy team. I'll hope to get to those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this one. Got some questions for you guys.
Nice. Are they any good?
What's
your confidence meter in your questions today?
You know what? I feel pretty good. I feel pretty good about a couple of them. I always like to, because when you ask questions, I'll go out and do my walk, and I'm always like, okay, I wonder if this would be good for my guys to talk about this.
Dude, walks are supposed to be like one of the best things you can do for like brain creativity.
Well, when you're 61 years old too, it's like
by a thread.
You have to do it. Yeah,
running and reading.
Yeah, running.
Running and reading. Man, boy, I get so many great ideas when I put those two together. Yeah.
I cannot.
Oh my God.
I couldn't imagine this because I did a lot of running and like having to. And I get motion sickness when I like in a car.
You read while you're running.
Yeah, and I could see like moving around and how that might be a problem.
Reading afterwards after a good run
or
maybe before a good run. Okay, I was just thinking, put those combinations together.
I was kind of literally and reading.
I was trying to think running and reading. That'd and I'm like, man, impressive. Lucius has got a special skill.
No, I need music.
That's a steady stride. Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. That is very, you know, keeping it all in one spot. I was thinking of books, like audiobooks.
Audiobook would work
too. You guys listen to audiobooks?
I love audiobooks, but I can't do it while working out. No.
Okay.
No.
Sometimes when I'm flying. Yeah, and
It has to be the author.
Yeah,
okay, the author.
I like when the author does read the thing. I'm in.
So you don't like you get a professional voiceover person. They're doing character voices.
That's cool too. That's cool too. But if I get like an autobiography or something like that, I want to hear you tell your story, bro. Mm-hmm.
Is that a deal though? Where like, kind of like the. It's not important. I was thinking something about.
It's pretty powerful.
If you listen to a book, is that considered reading a book? That's what I was
It's different
gonna,
digestion because you can tune out easier. But I think you can get most of it. I don't think it's the same.
It's not reading, but I guess you could say I've read that book.
Yeah.
That book was read. Like, that book was read to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I listened to that book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder because people that usually read have really good vocabulary, right? Because they're actually reading the words.
You would think.
What if you hear the word?
Sometimes you read the word and you're not actually pronouncing it right. That happens to me in my life.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I read this
day.
Word the wrong way for 20 years. Yeah. You know, type of thing.
Okay.
Never said it out loud.
The audiobook, I need to give that a go.
It's cool. Don't do it too much because you lose the reading muscle. Mm-hmm. I got tired after four pages of reading one time. I was like, man,
I lost that in 1986.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Dawson, let me start with you on this one, if I could.
Sure. Let's rock.
All right. Currently, the most important offensive player is CeeDee Lamb or Rico Dowdle.
Oh, it's CeeDee Lamb. You know, I think you could get a lot of players. Rico Dowdle is just maybe an average runner. But CeeDee Lamb's the guy who still can dictate coverages. You know, when you lose that guy who can command a double team, your offense is devastated. You know, so I think it's CeeDee Lamb opening a lot of stuff for these guys, like Micah's opening stuff for the other pass rushers.
How about you, Chief? Currently, the most important offensive player, CeeDee Lamb or Rico Dowdle?
I agree with everything Dawson said there. I mean, imagine this offense where CeeDee Lamb's not playing. You're like, oh my gosh, who are we throwing to? Every time they throw to somebody not named CeeDee, you're like, why did we do that?
Yeah,
put you in a position where you have to do that. You're in a world of trouble.
But I sorry to bring it back to me, but I would say Rico was averaging 4.5 even when they were struggling.
Yeah.
And I think they were struggling so bad in part because they were trying to make Zeke relevant.
That's that part of it.
Oh, sure.
Yes. So the drop off from Rico is drastic, but just not as big as the drop off from CD to the other guys.
Yeah, I'm still going CD, the big plays. I mean, you saw it on that first drive for a touchdown, third down, CD Lamb conversion, third down, CD Lamb conversion, third and goal, boom, CD Lamb touchdown. I think that there's always going to be elements with the running back and the running game with this team that is extremely important, but it's CD.
Can they live within, I'll ask you guys the questions because you all said CD. Could they live with Cooper Rush having no running game and just throwing the ball to CD?
Hell no.
No.
No,
and they wouldn't win games.
I think Cooper Rush has some intangible qualities that help him manage the game for success, and that's why he had so much success a couple of years ago. And now, if it wasn't for the Cincinnati disaster, his record the last two times you've called upon him would be way over 500.
Yeah.
So I have a lot more respect for Cooper Rush, I think, than a lot of people do, and Rico Dowdle. But, you know, no, Cooper Rush can't do squat without a run game.
They tried it. They threw it 55 times against Houston. Lost 34-10. They gave the ball to Rico 10 times.
Yeah. But see, that's the kind of the argument why I would say currently that I think that Rico Dowdle is more important than CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I don't know that they're winning. Like, if you take away what CeeDee did on Sunday, do they win the game still?
They don't play him in the second half of games sometimes.
Right.
You know, and I just kind of, they hand the ball to Rico Dowdle 25 times and they get
for the first
you
time.
You lose CeeDee Lamb, you're done. You lose Rico Dowdle, you start poaching guys from practice squads until you find somebody else.
I kind of feel like
you'd be fine.
Why do I feel like you're done if you lose Rico Dowdle?
Rico's your second best offensive player right now. Yeah, for sure.
Just weird. I mean, I just was sitting there thinking because I was wondering, like, God, how important really is Rico Dowdle?
He's become very important.
Because we've seen in the second half of games, they can't get the ball to CeeDee Lamb, or they choose not to, or teams take him away, but I've kind of seen teams try and stack boxes and do things against Rico Dowdle, and they still average over 4 yards a play, you know, running the football. So, I don't know. I was just curious about that. Chief, has Mike Zimmer been just as good as Dan Quinn?
Yeah, I would say in some ways he's been better. I mean, he's had less ingredients at his disposal, so to speak. And we illustrated last week what he did or what he's been doing with Micah Parsons, getting him in unblocked scenarios, which is not something that Dan Quinn was really able to do. And you're at least seeing the run game, the run defense look better. It's against poor opponents, but they're at least looking respectable from that standpoint at this point. So, yeah, I would say that it's been more impressive.
Chief? I'm sorry, Wooly?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with the first half of the season. I mean, they lost in ways that they hadn't, I guess, consistently lost under Dan Quinn, but we did see some of those defensive falling apart games where it was like, what the hell is going on here? So, yeah, I think that he's using Micah. I like what Eric said there with Zim and the way he's using Micah. I think he's using him in some ways that we didn't see DQ use. He's better with the matchups. I thought what you talked about, the hunting of the matchups. Yeah, yep. I don't know that Dan Quinn would always have done that. So I'd lean, I think there is more upside with Mike Zimmer, yeah.
You know, I do believe in this defense. I'm not going to say yet because of the job that Dan Quinn did in the heart of his run where, man, they were really good holding the Niners in that playoff game. It wasn't the defense that lost that game. I think we remember the Green Bay game a lot, sure. And there were some bad moments last year where he really could not get a handle on how to get his guys to play with more integrity and stop the run better. And I think starting with this Tampa game, this is where the truth is going to hit because they're at 5.2 an attempt.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
I think
Philly, yeah. Whew, it could get ugly.
Okay, let me ask you this, and you say 5.2 an attempt. Has Mike Zimmer fixed the running game then?
Up till this point, yes. But, you know, I mean,
Dan Quinn ever fix the running game?
No,
not against a good running team.
So Mike Zimmer, the one thing he has done for this defense is he's made the run defense better.
It looks that way right now, you know. But again, you know, as we go through these final three games, I think that has an opportunity to look like, well, we just played four teams in a row that were horrible running the football.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess outside of the Commanders would be the one team that you're like, hey, that was a respectable rushing attack that you were able to slow down. Granted, you met them at a time where they were kind of in a downward spiral just generally as a team, but that's that's the only team that you're like, hey, that's a respectable rushing attack, and you slowed it down nicely. But otherwise, it has been against a bunch of bad teams.
Woolley, bigger impact for the future of this defense, Marshawn Nealon or Maris Leofau?
Leofau. And I like Nealon a lot. I mean, my goodness, when you talk about the Tank replacement, he's in-house there with Marshawn Nealon. And maybe they bring back Tank. I don't know that. But Nealon's ability to set the edge but also give you more when it comes to pass rushing than I anticipated. But Leofau is that guy that they're going to be missing, right, without Overshown. You need somebody, and who knows about Eric Kendricks. The way that he's able to identify, process, and go, I think is only going to get better. The more he plays, the more reps, the smarter, the more the game slows down. Leofau's got all the intangibles that you want, the instincts, the football IQ. He's around. I think he's just going to make more impact consistently on the game.
Dawson.
I think Nealon is good enough to be a solid defensive end, mm-hmm. give you, you know, mediocre pass rush and help you stop the run a little bit. But ultimately, he's a working class kind of guy, you know, might have a nice little 8-9 year career, but will never like approach the stardom. I do think Leofau has, you know, some splash to his game.
Sure. How about you, Chieftain?
Yeah, he definitely has more splash. I actually think I like the consistency of knowing what I'm going to get from Marshawn Nealon all the time. Like if you go back and watch Leofau on Sunday, there are some splash plays, and then mm-hmm. there's some plays where you're getting caught up and you're getting bullied. And he has been better than I anticipated him being, so I think he can be a solid player. But I think there's going to be a volatility to his game more so than Marshawn Nealon. And I think you just know exactly the consistency of what you're going to get from him. No splash, really, mm-hmm. but just solid every down player.
All right, the final one here real quick. Dawson. Rank and order these offensive linemen and their level of play.
Oh, you know I've been watching them for years, Brian.
Guyton, Smith, Beebe, Hoffman, Steele.
You got Tyler Smith, you got Terrence Steele, you have Hoffman, Beebe, and then Guyton.
Chief?
Guyton, Smith, Beebe, Hoffman, Steele. Those are the guys we're working with, right?
Yeah, you're working with Guyton, Smith, Beebe, Hoffman, Steele. Rank them in order of the current play.
Yeah, I think it's Smith, Hoffman, Beebe, Steele, Guyton.
I agree. Yeah, I think you go Tyler Smith. I think Brock Hoffman, when he's played, he's been arguably your best lineman anytime yep. he's been in there. Cooper Beebe, I thought, was playing pretty well. Then I'd slide in Terrence Steele, who's played well the last 2 weeks, and ultimately Guyton, who's been kind of up and down.
And a real quick final question. Would you worry about Hoffman playing 17 games?
Absolutely, yeah. Everything we just said about Mike Zimmer and this improving defense applies to Brock Hoffman, and he's having the benefit of getting to play against really bad defensive lines, so he's going to look good. You know, I would imagine on a snap-by-snap basis, he has had one of the better years, but he got to avoid the actual nightmare defensive lineman gauntlet that they ran the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fair to say the jury's still out on a lot of these guys. You want to see it against quality opponents. You do, and you'll get that chance
next 3 weeks. Yeah. How about you there, Woolley, real quick?
The rankings?
No. Hoffman. You worried about him for 17? Would you be worried about him?
I'm becoming less and less worried about him. I really am. Mm-hmm. I just think Brock Hoffman's got some grit and game. Like, he's a gamer. He shows up on Sundays and he finds a way to get the job done.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every afternoon at 3:40. Now, Chief, what are we looking at next?
We got a G-Bag Nation, You Make the Call, and a Footballer Ball Sack for you boys next year in the nation.